I was not only a PK, a preacher's kid, which didn't happen until I was in high school. Before that, I was a farmer's kid. But I was also a Buick. You know what a Buick is, right? Brought up in church kid. That was me. So I know all of the phrases that all of the older people used in prayer. And I want to be careful this morning in the way that I start, because I'm never one to try and offend anybody or purposely hurt someone. But I'm going to pick on some phrases that I heard growing up when I was a kid. I didn't know what they meant. And almost everyone prayed them. And some of you in here may even pray them. So that's why I'm trying to be a little bit sensitive and say, this is no condemnation on you. This is my ignorance, I guess, because I never knew what they meant. For instance, they gather around me and they say, Mark, we are praying a hedge of protection around you. Some of you are nodding. You know what I'm talking about. A hedge of protection. Why not a cement wall? What shrubbery going to keep out? A hedge of, if you're going to pray for, just cover me with a fort or something. I didn't know why they would say hedge of protection. Here's another one. We had a Sunday school teacher who was so nervous. She just take her. Lord, just bless her heart. And then some people use the word father too much, like my dad did. My mom, and she would get on him all the time because he would pray like, Father, we come to you, Father. You're the one Father who we love, Father. Father, Father, thank you, Father, thank you, Father, 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 Father. And then when you thought he was done, Father, Father. Which is okay, but you don't talk to anybody. You don't talk to your friends. Derek, 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 you're the one. Derek, Derek, I love you, Derek, 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 Derek. I mean, who would do that? How about this one? And some of you will pray this today. Lord, bless this food and the hands that prepared it. And I'm a kid thinking, why not the whole body? Just the hands? Bless the hands. This one cracked me up every time I heard it. Lord, bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies. And that's fine, except I remember my dad praying that over a bag of Cheetos, a jumbo Dr. Pepper, and a triple cheeseburger. Somehow, Lord, make this nourish me in some way. I don't know how you're going to do it, Father, but with this trash that I'm about to shove into my mouth, nourish it to my body. Well, you better pray a hedge of protection around your pancreas. You keep eating like that. And the worst prayer... was the one that our parents taught us when we're so little, right before we go to bed and they leave the room and they turn off the lights. Are you serious? And they'd even say it in that creepy voice, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. No wonder I'm checking under the bed every night. Seriously. I appreciate all the prayers that were taught to me and all the praying that was done for me by all the people who prayed things like that. But there was always a disconnect for me. Like, that is not what I read in the Bible. These canned phrases and prayers that everybody says every time in that moment. That's, something's missing. Something's missing. Prayer's awkward sometimes. You're in a group and the leader invites everyone to pray and nobody prays. You ever been a part of that? And it's just awkward silence. Or you forget the name of the person and what their problem was that you were asked to pray for, so you don't know what to say. Or I love it when you're in a prayer circle at camp and the leader says, will anyone pray at any time? And two kids start at the same time. And then they stop. And then they start right back up at the same time again. Awkward. Or if you happen to do what happened to me once, only once, I fell asleep while someone was praying, and that was awkward. I'll give you an awkward moment. My preaching buddy up north, Jeff Fall, this is hilarious. He went to his neighbor's house. They invited him for supper. They never went to church. They weren't Christian people, but when they were around him, they knew he was the preacher, so they acted differently. So they sit down at the table, and the father says, and now we will say grace. They bow their heads, and the dad is praying, and shortly into his prayer, the five-year-old pipes up and says, Dad, what are we doing this for? And the mom tried to hush him and said, after the prayers, she tried to save face. She said to the five-year-old, honey, we say prayers here all the time. He said, no, we don't. Well, yes, we do. No, we don't. Awkward. One mother had company and asked her six-year-old if she would like to pray. And the little girl said, I wouldn't know what to say. And mom said, just say what you've heard me say. Right. The little girl bowed her head and prayed, dear Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people over here? Awkward. We've all had those awkward moments. I see some people who they look like they're just talking to God like God was one of us. And it's natural and it flows and it's conversational. And then I look at all of us professionals who try all these canned prayers and make sure every word's in the right place. And again, there's some kind of disconnection going on. How can we pray more naturally, more honestly, more authentically? What will it take for our prayers to become more real? That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. And I'll use an old passage, but I'm not going to cover it in the way that we normally do. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who's unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sins. There's several lessons here, and I'm going to cover them quickly because I want to cover several of them. And I want to tell you this morning why prayer is awkward and should be, okay? Number one, it's awkward because I'm praying with people, but I'm praying to God. That makes it awkward. Verse 5, Jesus said, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Here's the deal. If you and I were having a phone conversation, Dale, you and I are on the phone, and we're just talking about whatever. We're going to meet for lunch, or you're telling me about something the kids did, or whatever. We're just talking, and all of a sudden, we can tell somebody's listening in. It doesn't matter how positive or encouraging or good our conversation was. All of a sudden, with the knowledge that somebody else is listening in on it, it's not going to be natural anymore. It's going to be awkward. Because I'm going to worry about what I say, or who is this, or what are they thinking. And so when I pray to God, and there are other people around, obviously, it's awkward to have you all listening in to my conversation with God. When we focus on what God hears, our prayers become more genuine. When we focus on what people hear, it will always come off as fake. He's teaching that natural prayer in communities will happen more readily if you've had natural prayer in the closet. You just learn to talk to God even though there are other people around. Lesson number two, it's awkward because I'm praying repeatedly, but not like a robot. Matthew 6, 7, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. One of my favorite parables that Jesus told is of a widow woman who's having a hard time with this guy who's not being very nice to her. So she goes to a judge and she says, I need you to deal with this guy. And he says, no, you're on your own. So she goes to him again, deal with this guy. No, you're on your own. So she goes again, no, you're on your own. No, you're on your own. She keeps going and going and going. And finally he says, all right, because I know you're going to keep on coming. You're not going to let me rest until I deal with this. You can have what you want. And Jesus concluded that in Luke 18:1. He told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. I've got three brothers. Mike is a year older than me. He's 57. I'm 56. Steve's 53. And David is 46. He's 10 years younger than I am. I'm the only one that I never admit this, but I'm to the point where now it's stupid not to. I'm the only one that looks like my dad. I do. And we were sitting around years ago when David was real little, and my dad was talking to people at the church, and we're all in the room, and he said, yeah, all my boys got different, some of my different traits. And we're like, here we go. Yeah, Mark got my looks. Mike got my mechanical abilities, which is true, he did. Steve got my creativity, my dad said, which is true because Steve's not creative, so I agree with that. But the capper was, and David, who was like 4 or 5 years old, and David got my intelligence. To which David immediately said, what's intelligence? But when he was a kid, he would ask mom for something. She'd say, no. Can I? No. Can I? No. Can I? He wouldn't stop. Can I? No. Can I? No. 100 times. Can I? No. But on 101, can I? Okay. And the rest of us boys, are you serious? You tell us no, we know that means no. We go about our business. All we have to do is ask 100 more times. God is encouraging us to bring our repeated prayers. I have people ask me this all the time. Should I keep on praying for the same thing over and over? Doesn't that show a lack of faith? Absolutely not. It doesn't show a lack of faith. And absolutely, yes, you should keep praying it over and over and over and over and over again. Be persistent. Be sincere, but be persistent. Repeatedly, but not like a robot. Lesson number 3. It's awkward because I'm praying what God already knows. But he wants to hear it anyway, right? Did you catch that verse? Your father knows what you need before you ask him. So the temptation for us who study the Bible is to read a verse like that, God knows what you need before you ask, and then to ask the question, why ask? If he knows what we need already, why ask? I believe 100% that my family and my friends love me. I do. I know it. Bother me if nobody said it from time to time. I mean, I know it to be true, but it would be hurtful to never, ever hear it from them. I know what they need sometimes, and they know I'm going to provide it. I still would like for them to ask. It still would be awesome, even though I know what they need and what they're going to say, even though I know that. Still be great to be asked. God is saying, come on, I know what you need, but I want to hear you say it anyway. Awkward. Number 4, it's awkward because I'm praying from a model prayer, but I'm not limited by its words. Here's a little Bible trivia for you. Well, let me give you a personal note first. I don't like that we call this the Lord's Prayer. Now, I'm not asking you to rip your plaques down, and I'm not trying to destroy artwork. But it's really not the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer he taught his disciples to pray. Jesus himself would have never prayed this prayer on his own. You know that, right? Because part of the prayer says, forgive us our debts. He didn't have debts and he didn't have debtors. He could not pray that. His prayer is found in John 17, if you want to read that sometime. That's the Lord's Prayer. This is the model prayer. And here's a little Bible tidbit for you to hang on to. Research the prayers of the disciples after this account where Jesus taught them to pray, you won't find one time where they said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Not one time. So they said, teach us how to pray. He said, here's how you pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be. And you never find them one time praying that prayer. What's that mean? Didn't they learn the lesson? They learned the lesson, and they realized it's not about the exact words as it is about the thought in conversation with the Lord. I love this because people pull out the Lord's Prayer like it's some kind of good luck charm, and we start chanting it together, and it sounds beautiful, and we sing it, and we play it on the piano, and all that's fine. It just was never meant to be used in that way. Even kids have pulled it out. I showed you a video a few weeks ago of kids say the darndest things. Some of you were here for that. to get to the ones I showed you, I had to look through others, which I was happy to do because I love kids, and especially when they're hilarious. And so I found a kid who made my point about the model prayer. And so I'll show you a few others, and then we'll end with him. Check this out.
Who's the most important man in the world today, in your opinion?
George Washington.
George Washington. That's right. He's married, isn't he?
Yes, sir.
You know who his wife is?
Miss America.
She raises funds.
He's a fundraiser. Gee, that's wonderful. Who's he raising funds for?
Himself.
What would you do first if you were president?
Keep my mouth shut.
What's the hardest thing about school for you?
Buttoning my pants.
What do you want to be when you grow up as a grown man?
An actor and an artist.
An actor in motion pictures? Mm-hmm. Let me give you a little test. Have you ever done any acting?
Yeah.
Well, try it. Say Art Linkletter like you're mad.
Art Linkletter like you're mad.
That's good. You're going to be a wonderful. What do you think would make a perfect husband, Karen?
Well, a man that provides a lot of money, loves horses, and will let you have 22 kids and doesn't put up a fight.
What do you think you'll be when you grow up?
A nun.
Stanley Thomas, what do you think you'll be when you grow up?
A bus driver or a pilot.
A bus driver or a pilot?
Yeah.
Well, suppose you were piloting on a big airplane and suddenly all four engines stopped right away. What would you say?
Our father would turn to everybody.
There it is. You're going down on a plane. What's the first thing you say? Our Father, which art in heaven. These words were used by the disciples as a catalyst for conversation. They were never recited the way we do today. It's awkward. Lesson number five. It's awkward because I'm praying in a confident relationship, but it's also in humble respect. Here's the part that really makes it awkward. Verse 9 of our text. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Relationship, my Father, respect, hallowed be your name. I'm praying like a child to a parent, like a friend to a friend. That's true. But I'm also talking like a subject to a king, like a created person to a creator, like a servant to a master. And none of those cancel out the others. Of course it's awkward. Look at it this way. The only one who wakes up a king at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is his kid. And we have that kind of access. Lesson number six. It's awkward because I'm praying to heaven, but I'm living on earth. Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A thought hit me after the Super Bowl last year. Came into work on Monday and got to thinking about it, and it took a while for the euphoria to wear off that the Patriots lost, so I did enjoy that for a while. And then I thought, what would it be like to view that big spectacle of the Super Bowl from heaven's vantage point? That's how my mind works. So I got to imagining it. Seeing that impressive scene on this little blue dot we call Earth, surrounded by incomparable eternal glory. You're not thinking Minnesota or Houston or Indianapolis, you're thinking heaven. And when you see 80,000 people in a 1.9 million square foot stadium, imagine viewing from the expanse of heaven surrounded by the millions of redeemed from every tongue, every tribe, and every nation. And when you see those jets fly over the stadium at the beginning of the game, imagine seeing that being surrounded by myriads of angelic beings. And when you watch Bruno Mars or Justin Timberlake or Lady Gaga do their thing at halftime, remember you're in the presence of a holy God who hears every word and sees every move. And when you see the American flag and hear the national anthem, imagine being surrounded by every believer who ever lived expressing their allegiance to God Almighty. And when you see the commercials that tell you everything you need to own, remember you're standing and watching this with the God who makes all of those things irrelevant. I'm not saying you shouldn't watch the Super Bowl. What I'm saying is perspective from heaven is totally different than perspective from earth. And what makes prayer awkward is I'm praying to heaven, but I'm praying from down here. It's why I should be able to take answers from God better than I do, because he sees what we don't see. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a great verse in Revelation. Are you familiar with Revelation 2:13? Jesus says, I know where you live. Now, that's not a scary, I know where you live. No, it's not like that. It's, I see what you're going through. I know where you live. And when you're praying from earth, the real vantage point is heaven. If God is not the starting point of our prayers and we don't trust in his wisdom from his vantage point, then our emotions and desires become the sole focus. A couple more real quick. Number 7, it's awkward because I'm praying as a flawed sinner, which I am, but as a forgiven saint. Jesus spelled it out. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And the clearest teaching on this subject is at the end of the Lord's Prayer. Or the model prayer. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sins. Leave that up for a moment, Rocks. Let's study that. I asked you last week for a key word in the text. Tell me the key word in that text. Say it again. That is a key word. That's not the key word. It's the word if. Everything hinges on the word if. Man, if you don't hear anything else, hear this and get this through. If you forgive others, he will forgive you. If you do not, he will not. If. Now listen to me. We sit in here Sunday after Sunday. We bask in the glow of God's forgiveness and mercy and grace, yet we've got a grudge or we're holding some kind of bitterness against somebody or they did us wrong and we can't let it go. Who are we? Who are we to take in the forgiveness and the love and the grace and the blessing and the mercy of Almighty God, yet hold somebody else accountable for something they did to us when we should let it go? If you do, God says, I will. But if you don't, I won't either. That's pretty heavy. I'm a flawed sinner, but I'm a forgiven saint. Listen, I've learned this a long time ago. If the biggest sinner you know isn't you, then you don't know yourself very well. I realize that we're not always going to get the blessing from doing the right thing. Sometimes it doesn't come back to us. A man worked at the post office, and he was in charge of processing all the mail that had an ineligible address. Check this out. He gets an envelope, had some shaky handwriting on it, addressed to Almighty God. So he's thinking it's a kid. So he opens it and he looks at it, and it's not a kid. It's an 83-year-old woman who wrote, Dear God, I'm 83. I'm living on a small pension. Yesterday, someone stole my purse, had $100 in it, all the money I have till my next check. Next Sunday's Easter. I have two friends coming for dinner. Without the $100, I won't be able to feed them, and I have no family to help. Please help me, God. Well, the postal worker was so touched, he showed the letter to some co-workers. They began to take up a collection to send to this elderly lady. Came up with $96, put it in an envelope, and sent it to her from God. Felt really good about what they had done. Easter came and went. A few days later came, and nothing. And then a letter came back to the post office addressed to God again. So the guy called all of his coworkers who had contributed around the desk to read the letter. They were excited. Dear God, how can I ever thank you enough for what you did for me? We had a wonderful dinner, wonderful day. By the way, there was $4 missing. I bet it's those jerks at the post office. You may not always receive appreciation, but I'm telling you, you will receive an energy and a blessing every time you realize I will never be asked to forgive someone of more than God has already forgiven me. A couple of quick stories and we'll close. Several years ago in South Texas on a ranch, an elderly woman was critically ill at the point of death. And all the family, the ranch hands, neighbors, everybody there, knock on the door. It's a traveling preacher. Back in the day, that wasn't uncommon. He'd arrived in town, and someone told him, hey, this lady's about to die. Would you go pray with her? Well, the preacher went to her and he said, I understand you don't have much time left. She looks up and frailly says, who are you? He said, well, I'm a visiting preacher and I've come to forgive your sins and get you ready to meet the Maker. And the woman said in a faint voice, let me see your hands. And he stuck his hands out and she took her hands and she put them across the palm of each of his hands. And then she said, you can't forgive my sins. He said, what do you mean? She said, only the one with nail prints in his hands can forgive my sins. He's the only one that can get me ready to meet my Maker. When I pray to God, I'm not praying only as a flawed sinner. I'm praying like a forgiven saint, and it's going to be awkward sometimes. So here it is. I'm praying with people, but to God. Makes it awkward. I'm praying repeatedly, but not like a robot. Makes it awkward. I'm praying what God already knows, but he wants to hear me say it. Makes it awkward. I'm praying from a model prayer, but I'm not limited by its words. I'm praying in confident relationship with God, but also in humble respect. I'm praying to heaven, but I'm living on earth. And I'm praying as a flawed sinner, but a forgiven saint. Jenny was sitting in church one Sunday, and her heart was hurting. She tried to pray, but she didn't know what to say. She didn't know what to say, but she remembered what her dad had taught her. God knows your needs before you pray, and he can answer even when you don't know what to ask. So this sweet little girl began saying the alphabet one letter at a time. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Went all the way through the alphabet. Lady sitting next to her said, Jenny, what are you doing? And she said, I'm praying to God with all my heart. And the lady said, sounds to me like you're saying the alphabet. Jenny said, yep, but God knows more about what I need than I do. He can take all these letters and arrange them in just the right way, and he can answer my prayers. Listen, it can feel awkward, and that's okay. I mean, think about it. Me, Mark Fugate, Vivi, Indiana boy, can talk to the creator of the universe at any point. Awkward. Derek can talk to the creator anytime. Stanley can talk to the creator of the universe anytime. Bill can talk to the creator of the universe at any point. Dan can talk to the maker of the world. Of course it's awkward. But I'll tell you what it is more than it's awkward to me anyway. It's awesome. It's awesome. Amen.